David Kennedy, good morning. I got a little test for you here, all right? You ready?
Ready.
Myth or reality? For violent criminals, prison is a deterrent.
Not most of the time.
Not most of the time. Myth or reality? High-tech surveillance and military-style weapons are the best way to overwhelm urban gangs.
None of the time.
Total myth.
Yeah.
Myth or reality? The rate of violent crime going down nationally means things are getting better in every inner-city neighborhood in the United States.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. David Kennedy is the author of Don't Shoot and the director of the Center for Crime Prevention and Control. He's the brains behind Operation Ceasefire, an anti-violence strategy that's had a remarkable impact on homicide rates across the country. It focuses on individual neighborhoods, really down in the details of why the violence occurs. He's also the author of the new book, Don't Shoot, One Man, A Street Fellowship, and the End of Violence in Inner-City America. David joins us in the studio, as you can hear. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.
You know, I don't often do this, but I did want to note your book is blurbed by Malcolm Gladwell, all right, who has a reputation for bringing kind of statistical, almost a scientific view of problem solving to all kinds of questions. This is an example of doing something like that treating urban violence.
It really is, and it's two things, really. It's bringing that kind of rigor and focus to an issue that makes everybody very emotional. But it also brings 25 years of street wisdom up from the bottom. And where those two things intersect, it gets pretty amazing.
So how do you have an impact on gang members? And, you know, this is a story of a learning curve that's really a very long learning curve for you, and probably even longer for traditional law enforcement. Tell me how you first sort of understood that this is a message that's getting through where all of the others didn't.
They stopped shooting.
Right, but where? Where did you discover that for the first time?
We discovered it in Boston. So we learned a couple of very important things that street cops and field probation officers and gang outreach folks in Boston knew because they were out on the corners every day and that none of the rest of us knew. And what they knew, several really important pieces, they knew the kids were scared to death. And you asked earlier whether prison is a deterrent. And it's not a deterrent when there's a guy with a gun out there trying to kill you. That's immediate. Nobody's taking care of you, and the idea that you might go to prison behind a shooting 5 years from now just doesn't weigh on you at all when you're trying to save your life. So they were at enormous risk. They were scared to death. They didn't think that anybody, adult or in the world of authority, would take care of them. They felt completely on their own.
Let's talk about that for a minute. The police in these instances in Boston and some of the other communities you profile, as much as they like to tout a presence and an intensity and a kind of macho, we're on the streets watching things, from the perspective of the kids, the cops were like way off on another planet almost.
They really were. So one of the first gang members I ever sat down and talked to, I asked, What's driving the shooting? And it's burned in my memory. What he said was, they shoot because the law don't work. The law has never worked in my neighborhood. It never will.
So they're the police.
They are the police. Yep.
And so if you can just change that, the shooting goes away.
If they feel safe, if they are safe, right. So if the things that we do actually reduce their risk down to the level of the rest of us, if we interfere with the peer pressure that drives them, you know, gangs are groups of young men, and there is no stupider organism on the planet than a young man with his friends watching. That's just true. And it's true,
that is true.
In every single setting throughout history. The other reason these guys shoot is because the streets say they have to. If you're disrespected, you are nothing. And the way you get your respect back is to go hurt the person who's disrespected you. You get them behind closed doors. They don't even like it. They don't want to do it. But their friends are pushing them. Their enemies aren't listening. They feel in a very concrete way that they don't have any choice. So if you protect them from all that, they are free to back out. And again, behind closed doors, when nobody's watching, what they say is, I'm scared, I hate this, I'm not making any money, I'm worried about my mother. I'm worried about my little brother. I'm worried about my sister. Everybody I know has been hurt. Half my friends are dead. I hate this. And why wouldn't they?
So if you can just get them to think about, man, this stinks, take a breath, they move on, as long as they're protected, as long as it doesn't revert to the previous level of chaos.
That's exactly right.
How did you discover that the shooting went down when you actually took a step to say, if you folks don't put your guns down, you know, we're going to direct all of our energy on this core group of troublemakers?
Yep. So I love this part. I was at the Kennedy School of Government then, right? So
yeah, that's, I mean, that's Harvard. That's about as high up in the altitude of the atmosphere you can be.
It's Harvard University, yeah. Theory, practice, methods, all that great stuff. And we learned it from the street cops. This didn't come from Harvard. It came from these amazing, amazing, amazing career law enforcement and community people who let us in. You know, I will never, ever get over what they gave us. And what they knew, because they did it, was that when things got really out of hand, they could move in drug enforcement and warrant enforcement and street stops and the outreach workers who had social services and the ministers who walked the streets at night, and they could say to one of these groups, literally face to face, we know who you are, we know what you're doing, and as of today, it stops. We'll help you get work, we'll interfere with your enemies, we'll tell them they have to sit down, but this is not a negotiation, we're not asking. You are committing volumes of crime all the time, which is what gang members do.
So the innovation is, we know you, we want to help you, but we're not negotiating.
That's right.
And the message is not, we're fighting you and we're going to win. How many places in the country has this worked before we go? Because I could talk to you for an hour.
Something like 70 at this point.
And yet crime and crime fighting is not a part of the political discourse right now. It's not going to be in this 2012 election.
It's because it's the dead are black and they don't count.
David Kennedy is the author of Don't Shoot and the director of the Center for Crime Prevention and Control, with some hopeful messages and an extraordinary set of stories. David, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
More of the news and your views, head to thetakeaway.org. You can listen back to anything you've heard on our show. That's thetakeaway.org. Also, follow us at Facebook. Find out the stories that have our listeners talking the most, like that last segment. You can also get a jump start to every day's takeaway. Sign up to get our texts. You text the word START to 69866. We'll ping you back what's on the next day's show and give you a chance to weigh in. Who knows? Maybe you'll be a guest. That's START to 69866 to start the conversation. I'm John Hockenberry. Celeste is out all this week. This is The Takeaway.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With three updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging and an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.